Hey there, welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. My name is Ryan Jones, joined as always by Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
We are down to the final four. We have hometowns. The season started, and now it is all the way to the stretch.
This is mind blowing to me. Like, when she opened the episode saying there's six left and we're going down to four tonight and there's hometowns, it was like very fast.
Yeah, and bizarre though, because the whole season has felt bizarre, and this week was no different. I don't know that we've ever had a season other than COVID where we were getting to hometowns and they stayed completely in the United States. They couldn't even ship them down to the Bahamas or something.
It's definitely been a while. If you take out the whole COVID, let's stay in the resort thing, which was in itself. But I think she's getting slighted a bit in this season.
I mean, yo, we're sending you to Washington. Cool. And then now we're sending you to New Orleans, which, by the way, one of my favorite food cities. So fine. A little better than Washington. But this has to be the cheapest season they've ever, again, other than, and COVID cost more because you had to lock down the entire resort. So,
right.
So I'll say, even with the COVID seasons, this is the cheapest season they've ever done.
It must be. I'd love to see the numbers.
It's wild. And you've been in New Orleans once, yes?
Yes.
So I'm glad that they got to go at least to a great food city. It's a little bit of a bummer. I was feeling Aaron, the fact that he lived there for so long and could have actually given her one of those classic hometowns that is in a hometown where they know the tricks of everything, and instead, like, yeah, never mind, you're gonna go back to the hotel.
Yeah, you just have to sit in like a one area like fruit plate.
It would have fit better to have him get one of these one-on-ones instead of two dudes who obviously are favorites but have already gotten one-on-ones. Joey gets that first one. There was never any really doubt, much like Dotton later. At any point are you thinking like, ooh, this could take a left turn?
With him, I'm curious to know your thoughts, but I think he's getting a bit of the Bachelor edit. Joey is. I don't see them ending up together. I don't, definitely more of like a best friend vibe to me, like just, you know, exploring a city and hanging out together rather than anything romantic.
I think there's a little bit more chemistry there than you, but I definitely agree 100% that he has the Bachelor edit. And unless he does something really shitty the next couple weeks, I don't know how he's not the Bachelor. I think this is one of their easiest calls ever. They get to do all the pre-filming in Hawaii. They get to bring, they'll probably even bring his family out there, even though I haven't looked at the hometowns, but I assume they're going to like Philly or something instead of Hawaii.
But
they would do so much out there, and he's said all the right things from start to finish here. So I think you're dead on. If he doesn't win this, and I don't know how it's not Dotton, but if for some reason he's the winner, then fine. But otherwise, he's it. And really, flip the script. If it's him, then Dotton's got to be the Bachelor. I mean, you have two guys that are clearly one
pretty
two
good contenders,
and it has to be one or the other for both questions. Who does she pick, and who's going to be the next Bachelor?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some chemistry there. I just feel like when you compare his date with like Dotton's date, it's like is there any comparison? Like I didn't think so. I would think that it's like as clear as day, but I mean, obviously I'm not in it, but I think he's definitely getting that sort of edit.
Yeah, and I don't think you can compare Dotton to anyone at this point. I mean, I know we're down to four, so it's easy to say, but the other two, whatever, that you could swap them out seemingly with anyone, because they really haven't had much time together other than, well, we'll get to Xavier in a minute, but like there really hasn't been any moments together where you thought, oh, this could be a thing. And just, I mean, Dotton is just head and shoulders ahead everyone else, and not just because he's like
literally
7 feet tall. Yeah, exactly. But I thought Joey again had a really great day and didn't do anything wrong, but he's not Dotton.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And they kept saying how natural it felt, and you could see it there. You know, there's definitely something there, but not to me. It wasn't like a marriage.
Yeah, but there's never a question he was getting a rose, and so he comes back with the rose, not that the surprise to the guys, but then when the date card shows up, what are you thinking about this two-on-one with Sean and Tanner, which didn't really end up being a two-on-one, but it was?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because I feel like in the past, like two-on-ones are so, it's like either one, it's one good person paired with someone horrible that they're trying to like get the other person away from, you know, the house or whatever. It's been a while that we've had like two people that are just like, like if both of you go home, like no one's going to be, I mean, I really liked Tanner and Sean was fine, but it's just like, okay, if you go home, it's not like I would think that they were on anyone's front runner list. No, I mean, no, they haven't even gotten, you know, one-on-ones. And when they kept saying how can you go to hometowns with a one-on-one, like that just makes no sense.
Well, and she had the opportunity to just do one more one-on-one and then add that person that didn't get out, you know, whether it's Sean or Tanner, add them to the group date.
Right.
Because she ended up doing that anyways. So I just, it was just this string of bizarre decisions by her these last couple of weeks. And, you know, Sean sort of summed it up where he's like, I don't know how we got here. And I'm with him.
Yeah.
Because,
same.
Like, whatever, both of them are interchangeable, and we know neither, we obviously know now, but we knew neither of them was going to go the distance.
Yeah.
But to pick a two-on-one where there's no tension other than the fact that they're both wondering, why are we on a two-on-one?
Yeah. Just
almost, maybe she felt the need, or her producer felt the need that, oh, we have to check the box of we have to get a two-on-one in there, even though why wouldn't you have done it, you know, with Brayden earlier, or, you know, Brayden and Aaron or something.
Right.
This just seemed out of nowhere and completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Definitely a filler date, I think.
Yeah. And the date goes well for Sean and not so much for Tanner. And all she does is then say, oh, never mind. This isn't really a two-on-one because I'm not going to give either of you a rose. Like,
so it was just a full awkward day.
Yeah, it really made no sense. And I, while I didn't feel Sean needed to do the hotel room visit, which
no,
never ends well, let's just be honest.
Just don't do it.
I understood where his frustration was coming from, because he did everything that was asked of her, and Tanner looked like a deer in headlights the entire date. So if it's two dudes that you're not really feeling and one is completely giving effort and the other one barely is there, it seemed like a pretty easy decision.
Yeah. I think she thought it was going to be a clear decision, and then she just didn't know what to do. And she's like, oh, let's just push this longer. And then there was no need to push it because they ended up both just going home. So she should have just sent them both home just on that date. And it would have been like a smooth sailing, you know, other date, or fit in two more one-on-ones.
Yeah. And I would have felt
Aaron
so much
Xavier.
So much better about the decision for a two-on-one if she would have exactly done that and just said, you know what? And I thought maybe she was going that way when she picked up the rose and says, oh, I can't hand it out. I was thinking, oh, okay, we're sending two guys home who we all agree we're probably going to go home anyways. And then within an hour, they were both gone. It would have made more sense because it's not two guys that were at each other's throats, but it was just two guys that she wasn't really feeling. And let's see if there's anything there with either. Okay, there isn't. You both go home. I'm on board with that.
Yeah. That's how I thought it was going when she said she wasn't giving out a rose at that time. That's where I thought she was going. And then she's like, but I'll just, you know, you guys are fine for now and just go back and we'll see what happens later.
Well, and this sort of piggybacks with the pseudo group date / 3-on-1 that ended up happening with, you know, after she ends up sending Sean home because he, you know, he can't handle, okay, I had a 2-on-1, now I'm going on a group date.
Can't handle one more hour.
Exactly. And like, oh, Dotton got a rose. Well, yeah, no shit. I mean, that's really what's going to send you over the edge.
Yeah. But,
so he goes home.
The least surprising.
All of a sudden, this group date turns into a 3-on-1, and clearly Aaron's the winner out of there. Like, everybody knew, okay, if someone's getting a rose, and they even said it. I mean, they're like, okay, well, yeah, Aaron's getting a rose. But then she still can't make a decision. And I'm like, oh, I can't make a call here. And just like she did with Brayden, she's talking about how, oh, indecisiveness has gotten in the way of my past relationships. She's saying it to the camera what the problem is.
Yeah. And
just like she was saying how terrible Brayden was.
You're aware.
And she kept Brayden around even as she was saying to camera how this was a red flag. Now she's saying to camera how, oh, it's given me trouble in the past when I've been indecisive, yet she continues to be indecisive.
Yeah. Yeah. At least she knows what she's doing, I guess.
I guess. And, you know, she goes to let Tanner down and walk him out of his own hotel room, I guess. It was sort of weird. But for her to say,
let me walk you out and you can just walk the streets.
Yeah. You know, your family would have so many questions about how we got here. That's literally going to be every hometown, no matter you've had 3 1-on-1s or none.
That's the definition of a hometown.
Yeah. So it seemed like such an empty sort of reasoning to him.
Yeah. And I mean, it does make sense though. Like, they've had probably an hour total in 5 weeks of actual one-on-one conversation, and getting to his family and be like, oh, what do you love most about him or something? You're like, I don't, like, do you even know what they do? Like, you know, stuff like that. I feel they not having that at least one is like, how do you even prove you try to, well, like, sell yourself to the family saying that it could be him in the end.
So what do you think about her talking to Tanner and saying, going through the whole, you know, how can we go to hometowns? You know, if I don't, you know, if they're going to be questioning how we got here. But then Xavier, who deserves more time right here than he got on the show, basically tells her, just before she makes this decision, oh, by the way, you've been talking all this time about I need someone that's ready for an engagement. And he's like, yeah, I don't think I can get engaged. I mean, maybe someday, yeah, but just not with you. Yeah. And then she keeps him. Can you explain this to me?
I can't. Because him saying that, like, you could just see in her face, she's like, what are we doing? Like, what is this? And I thought for sure that would have been an easy send home, but like, talk about a red flag.
How does that
in your
not
face
make your decision immediately? Like, oh, okay, this date is over because I know you're going home and Tanner's getting this other rose, because even though maybe I feel I have a little more chemistry with you, you just said to my face, I'm not sure that I can ever get engaged. And then you sort of say, well, no, I can picture it, but I don't know that I can picture it with you.
Well, and not only that, but he's like, committing to one person scares me.
This is.
And it was them like 1 or 2 weeks ago that had the one-on-one, and she was the one comparing him to the ex about not being loyal. And he's saying right here, I have trouble committing. Like, I would rather someone I don't know meeting my family rather than getting into what seems like a mess.
I mean, we've seen this. We saw this with Johnny a couple seasons ago. Like, we've seen guys and some women go on dates when they went on this show and they got further than they were expecting. And they're like, oh, crap.
Yeah,
I came on this to go to paradise and become an influencer and just have a pretty cool life for a few years.
Yeah.
And
now I'm one of the last ones.
Yeah. And we're getting to the point where, oh, crap, I might, you know, be asked to propose to this person. Mm-hmm. Let me pick something to say without sending myself home, but sending myself home. And that seemed like what Xavier was saying. Like, that's right out of, if you could write for someone, you know what, without being a total jerk, well, it was close.
Yep.
This is what you should say to guarantee you get sent home. That's what Xavier said. And instead, somehow he gets the rose over a guy who, yeah, it might be boring, but at least seemed very open to say, like, I want to be here for you.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of commitment.
Yeah. Or just didn't flat out say, oh, yeah, all of a sudden, I don't know that I could ever, you know, have a commitment like this. But making it worse, like, yeah. Oh, how can that be worse? Oh, it can be worse by maybe saying, yeah, just probably not with you. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Too many ifs in that conversation.
And it just, like, the fifth time in the episode where I'm wondering, like, just what is she doing? Mm-hmm. Like, it just doesn't add up. And maybe she's thinking, well, I've got Joey, I've got Dalton, so I know that I have two dudes who I could see it being at the end here. And, well, I got to have four hometowns, so, like,
Doesn't matter who the other two are.
Yeah, like, I'm more into Xavier than Tanner, so, like, sure, I guess I'll keep him. And yeah. It just, other than that, I can't wait to hear her reasoning for hearing those words and still consciously, not even in the moment, but waiting and thinking about it and saying, oh, yeah, no, I do want to give you the rose.
Yeah.
So much so that I'm going to go and break up with this dude in a hotel room. And that was, I mean, that's always awkward, though. It's like, can I walk you out, like, of my hotel room?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Can I walk you out, you mean?
Or can I get my bag first? Or can you just leave me in the room? Do I need to leave the hotel? Like, I'm getting evicted now?
Yeah.
So bizarre.
Can I pack my stuff?
It's just all around, just question mark, question mark, question mark. And ultimately, it might not matter because, and I'm saving it for last because I think this is who's going to be last, but Dalton State, I mean, just another one where you wonder, hey, why are you having multiple, just like the other guys, why are you having multiple one-on-ones? But if you watch it, okay, this sort of makes sense.
Yeah. What's better than a run on a date?
Well,
/ walk.
Yeah. I mean, personally, that's like top of my list. That would be one of my favorite things to do. Even though I'm immensely out of shape, I do enjoy running. And just before the world shut down, I actually ran the Rock and Roll Half Marathon in New Orleans, not the Crescent City. So it was fun, but watching that, clearly not as much fun. But same
is this a half marathon? Because so everything says it's a 10K. So I didn't.
Well, that's a good question then, because
at they first said, she said marathon, and I was like, "There's no way.
There's no way
doing a marathon on a date." And then they said half marathon.
Correct.
And I was
what I heard.
I was like, "Okay, so I mean, you could do that, especially since they walked most of it. Like, it was like that's doable." And then, when I looked it up, it said it was a 10K. So
okay, I'm so. Like, a 10K,
same mileage.
Yeah, a 10K would make much more sense because when
that's like six, right?
Yeah. Ish. So they a little more. So they crossed the finish line at 2 hours and 41 minutes.
Yeah.
Which it for a half marathon, when you're stopping and having drinks and eating and taking pictures, is an incredible time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm happy if I get near 2 hours, because again, not a fast runner, but I run. Mm-hmm. I don't stop and have drinks and whatever.
Yeah.
But a 10K would make much more sense, especially for the amount of extracurriculars it seemed like they were doing.
Yeah.
And there were multiple people with different colors, which usually means different races. So that's why I just assumed they were doing the half. But that, a 10K would make much more sense and allow them to tape stuff for 2 hours, you know, almost 3 hours, basically.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that makes me feel a little bit better, because that was the one part of it that didn't have me feeling so great about myself, because I'm like, wait a minute, they stopped for how long?
Well, that's why I'm here.
And they finished in 2:41?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Like, I've definitely finished a half in 2.5 hours before. So I was definitely not feeling great about myself. So that makes me feel a little bit better. But
you're welcome.
For anyone that does run, I would totally recommend going down there. There's all kinds of people with signs and dressed up, even when they're not running. Like, I had all kinds of pictures with, I would just stop and take pictures with people who were, someone was dressed up as Run DMC. And people are dressed up for, like, in Mardi Gras outfits and throwing beads. And it's just,
That's great.
It's a wild party. And I did a Jello shot right before the finish line. Maybe not my brightest idea, because who knows what could have been in it. But because it was just like rando dudes on the side of, like, in the front of their house with Jello shots. Like, hey, stop a new Jello shot. Sure, why not? So highly recommend. But Crescent City, even better if you can do a 10K. 6 miles is better than 13 miles.
There you go.
But
it just seems like such a normal, it flowed very well with the two of them. Like, that's such a normal thing, I think, that you would do, I don't know, on a weekend as a couple or something, or, you know, as some kind of date. It just seemed very, very natural between them.
Yeah. And I mean, for both of them to sort of be like, well, I don't run, but clearly they're both in very good shape. I mean, let's be serious. Anyone on these shows is in good shape. But that doesn't mean you necessarily want to go for a run, but they both handled it really well. And no matter how much you stopped, like, that's just, I'm with you. It seemed like this is just what they're going to do. You know, they're going to get engaged. They'll go to run an LA half marathon and have the same thing happen. They're going to introduce them, and they're going to sort of, at that point, they'll probably be paid to be there. And, like, I could totally see everything in front of them. You know, like, that's the sort of stuff they're going to do. And it's going to seem as natural as things seem in this world.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, after watching this, is there anything to make you think, like, oh yeah, it could be someone else?
No, I still like Aaron, just the way it was edited this week. Like, he just seemed like so whiny about not getting it because he knows New Orleans so well. So that was a little bit of a turnoff on his character, but I mean, nothing bad. Like, it's nothing negative towards him. I think it was just the way, or not edit. Like, maybe he did, but that's really all he talked about, was just complaining he didn't get it because this was, you know, his city or whatever. So
yeah, it was definitely tailor-made for him, so he had to be thinking, obviously they wanted one-on-ones anyways, but especially like, oh, the producers know I lived here for 7 years.
Yeah.
And she might even know at this point. I'm sure they've talked about, you know, at various points about in your life, which clearly this was a very big one to him. So he had to be, forget about Sean and thinking he deserved it or whatever.
Oh yeah, no.
It was, if you're literally in someone's hometown or whatever, where he did live for a while, you have to think you're getting a one-on-one. So I understood where he was.
I understood it. I think it was just like, it came off as like whiny to me. Yeah. But again, not like, I still like him. It's not a negative.
No. But you're 100% right. It is the perfect example of Joey gets the Bachelor edit. Aaron gets the, oh, I'm annoying edit, even though he's not annoying, but every time he opens his mouth, he's talking about, oh, I can't believe. Yeah, you're, of course, it's the Crescent City. That's what it's like, the Crescent City Run. That's what it's called. And
yeah. Yeah, I mean, so before that, like, I mean, really, I did like Xavier, but, you know, now I just think he's a walking red flag.
Yeah, oh, I was, as soon as he started talking, and right to her face saying, oh yeah, like, I can't commit to, you know, one person. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
what are we doing? Like, just have three hometowns. Like, just stop.
Yeah.
And we get four hometown dates, even though, again, yeah, you know, whatever. I could totally see Xavier's hometown being one of those, like, oh, it's over? Yeah. Okay, now we're going to spend, you know, 45 minutes on Joey's and 45 minutes on Dutton's, and then, you know, Aaron and exactly. Xavier sort of left with the scraps.
Yeah.
Exactly. And with those four, I've made it very clear, Dutton, Joey, Aaron, Xavier, we don't have any arguments on this final four. Maybe you like Xavier better than Aaron.
Nope, that's my exact order.
Yeah, and every hometown has the doubting families, so we're going to have a little bit of drama going back to how that's a reason why not to have a hometown with someone, whatever. But
yeah,
so we're going to get a little bit of drama for the first time in a little bit, and somehow we're at the final four.
Even like people on social media were like, wait, what? It's hometowns next week?
Five episodes, like, to get to the final four. This feels super, super quick.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to six episodes without going out of the country. We'll see where the beachy area is. I don't know if it said it on the coming attractions where that is, but watch him be like, we were going to Key West, which, yeah, wonderful. Yeah. But
yeah. Still in the country.
Yeah, we're sending people to Fiji and stuff, but like, no, you're going to Florida. Great.
Congrats.
That's what I want to say. I got engaged in Florida. Yeah. Oh, here comes the hate mail. Okay. Florida, whatever. Florida, man. So we're down to the final four. And while it seems clear where all this is going, weirder things have happened.
Yeah.
We've seen favorites fall on their face before. And mm-hmm. all it takes is one rogue family member to throw it all to hell.
Yep. Bring them out.
So other than Charity's journey, we haven't had a drink word all night.
Right.
Any other news happening out there?
Not too much. I said last week that Sean Booth was expecting a baby with, quote unquote, not a random girl, but wasn't telling anybody who it was. But her name is Audrey Joseph, and she's from Nashville, and he lives in Nashville now too. But he hired her to photograph his gym in Nashville, and then that's just
okay.
Happily ever after.
That's a good meet cute.
Yeah. So he like revealed the baby mama on Instagram. So that's what was in the news with that. And Raven and Adam had their second baby. I feel like they fly under the radar a lot as a couple from Bachelor Nation, but they welcomed baby number two, and it's a boy named Max. So
yeah, that's a great point again, because we talk about the success stories that are very, very much put in the bright lights by the, you know, whether it's Paradise or Bachelor, Bachelorette.
It's definitely a couple, like a couple you forget about.
Yeah. I'm and surprised even, that like, we haven't seen them anywhere.
Yeah. And even like Tanner and Jade, like they're still thriving, and you just forget about, because they seem like such old couples at this point that
they have their crush you kind of forget for sure.
Yeah, that they're just not so present, you know, in tabloids anymore, because they're just actually living normal lives.
Well, and speaking of bachelor crutch couples, say that three times fast, especially one that has us to thank, Jared and Ashley were at the Matchbox 20 show here in Connecticut, and mm-hmm. as was I. I couldn't get a chance to see them, though, because they were backstage, and I was measly normal person seat. But so we didn't get a chance to catch up. But as you can imagine, if you didn't see, with Jared being the biggest Matchbox 20 fan in the world, singing and dancing was had. And he got to hug Rob backstage. It was a big thing.
It always is.
Yeah.
And it's all because of us.
Honestly. That's it.
So we'll still take credit for
long-time listeners know they're married
until they're not together anymore, and we'll say, "What? We never
got wasn't me.
We told them no."
I don't know what you're talking about. It wasn't me.
No, I think they're good. They're good with it for the long haul. I think.
I agree 100%.
Very wonderful. light week.
Well, if it's with the show. At Bachelor Podcast, if you think we're way off base, and no, it's gonna be Joey, no Aaron, let us know. Katie, thank you as always.
Thank you.
And we'll see you here next week.